So we're coming towards the end of June. It's the last day of June, I think, today, isn't it? Wow, is it July already? Tomorrow. So, as Tim said at the beginning, in this month of June, we've been thinking about mission in God's world. And we've had some amazing mornings. Last week, we had some videos, and we had Jill here. We were connecting in with our mission partners in different parts of the world. But then, all through this month, we've been thinking about the fact that God's mission is for the whole world, and that's here in Northampton and right around the world. If you weren't here last week, then I have some copies of these, and there's some copies over by the information area. Basically an introduction to each of our mission partners so that you can pray for them. So please do come and get one of those. It was so encouraging last week to go to Brazil and to go to Chad and go to these different places and to see what God is doing. But I wonder if you can cast your mind right back to the first Sunday in June when Martin and Elizabeth Goldsmith were visiting and they introduced our series. And if you were here, you might remember that Elizabeth used this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For Christ's love compels us. For Christ's love compels us. And she was talking about how that narrows us down. That brings a focus to our lives. When we have experienced the love of Jesus, it compels us to do something. For Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that one died for all. That's Jesus, of course. And therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so mission, at the heart of it, is always about acting from a place of love. It's about having a desire to share love in some way. It's about speaking about the love of God that sent Jesus. It's always about love, and it's all about love. This morning we're going to hear a few more video testimonies, and we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And we're going to be hearing about how ordinary people are responding to the love of Jesus to show that love to other people. But this is for all of us, because Christ died for all of us. And God wants everybody to know that Christ died for all of us. So we're going to kind of come right back to basics before we hear anything more this morning, to just worship the one who died for us. We're gonna sing. It's an old song. I don't know how far it goes back. It's "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene and Wonder How He Could Love Me, a Sinner Condemned Unclean." How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. The things that we've been thinking about through the course of this month, whether it's here in Northampton, whether it's practical mission, whether it's spoken, whatever it is, it's all about the overflow of love. And I want us just to sort of, this is kind of between us and God this moment, just to come back and just thank him for his love. His love that meant that Jesus came and died. His love that means we have good news to share. His love that means that you and I can know the love of God. So Elizabeth, would you lead us? And I'd like to invite us just to stay seated, just to worship God, just to express our love to Jesus, who died for us. Jesus, I pray that we might fall in love with you all over again. Lord Jesus, would you just pour out your love upon us this morning as we worship you? Lord Jesus, may we be head over heels in love with you, so in love with you, that it simply flows and spills out of us wherever we go. I think God would just remind us this morning that mission begins at the foot of the cross. When we've been to the cross, knowing that Jesus hung on that cross for you and for me, then something begins in our heart. We're changed, and we have this desire to see the world changed by this love. I wonder if it's just possible, it just may be possible, that there's someone here this morning and you've never been to the foot of the cross. You've never been at that place of recognizing that your life has been lived facing away from God, and that your sin separates you from God. And the invitation to you this morning is just to come to Jesus, to say thank you that he died for you, to say sorry for your sin, and just to, as it were, kneel before him and offer your life to him and ask him to make you a new person. And when you do that, he does. And this is the good news that has just echoed around the world for these 2,000 years, that the Son of God came, lived and died for you and for me. Mission begins at the foot of the cross. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We're going to hear some stories this morning about people who are doing just that, no longer living for themselves, but living for Jesus. But first, we're going to hear from God's Word. It's Acts chapter 1, and I think Jill is going to come and bring our reading. Thank you, Jill.
Acts chapter 1. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jill, for reading that so beautifully. Did you notice how many times the Holy Spirit was mentioned in that reading? I'm going to be thinking a bit more about that a little bit later. So we're going to show you a little video, first of all. You'll recognise that it's Bea Clark, and she's going to tell you about a little mission trip that she went on a few years ago. So if we can have that video now, Steve, that would be great.
I've been a member of St Giles now for over 7 years, and I went on a mission about 5 years ago to work with an organisation called Caring Hands, who went out to Murmansky Barota to do some work for Vera. Because of the very harsh winters they have there, she wanted to the team to build a garage. And so I was very inspired by what she had to say when she came to visit St Giles, and I just felt that God had really put a desire in my heart to help with that particular mission, which I went out to do. So we did build a garage with the Caring Hands team. We were there for about 2 weeks, and during that time I did learn an awful lot. I learnt about how you can do a lot with very little. One of the members of the team who came from Glasgow bought a load of seeds that were given, that were donated by his church, delivered to Vera and her village. And from that particular donation, people were in the whole village were able to grow and eat the food that they had grown for many, many months to come. So that was one of the things that I saw that had happened. And I think one of the other things that I remember was Vera taking me to the church that she belonged to, where she grew up as a young girl, and she explained to me that people who attend church there don't have seats. The services last for about 3 hours. Fortunately, we went towards the end, but that people have to stand and listen to the sermons. So I think I came away really with an attitude of very, very deep gratitude for the freedom that we have in this country, for the luxury that we have that we sometimes don't see. I was just very, very deeply grateful to have had that experience. I think it did benefit the people that we went to serve. The garage was virtually built by the time we left, and they were very grateful. It meant that they could store wood for the winter, which would keep them warm. It also meant that the wood was dry. Often the wood that they buy isn't treated, and so it was a big job, which would have made such a difference to the people there, and particularly to Vera during the winter months, and to keep her home warm. I would recommend people to go on a short-term mission. I suppose it depends on what your objective is for going, how you feel that you want to serve. I think that there's always something to learn when you go on these things. I believe that God does speak to you in many, many ways, and I think that going on a mission also helps you to grow in your faith and to become more mature in your faith, and to often see things and have the experiences that you wouldn't have in this country. So I would ask you to consider definitely going on certainly your short-term mission, if that's something that you feel that you have a desire to do.
I love the fact that in that little clip we heard that mission is incredibly practical. So for B, what it meant was rolling her sleeves up, getting involved and building a garage. For somebody else, it involved giving seeds which were then planted and could go on bearing fruit for the years to come. And I also love the fact that she said that she was inspired by meeting Vera. She was inspired by what Vera said when she came to visit us at St. Giles. And so inspired by that, she was inspired to go and to do something. And I suppose that has partly been the motivation for this series over this last month, is to encourage us and to inspire us to play our part in God's mission in practical ways. Whether that's going next door to our neighbour or going to another country, it's about something really practical. And we're going to hear another story now about a couple from our church. It's Richard and Frances Jones. They too were inspired to go. We really miss them, actually. Incredibly loving, wonderful people. They were inspired to go, and they were inspired by a prophetic word by God to them, into their lives, to go. And in this story, we hear that you're never too young and never too old to respond to what God is saying and doing. Actually, I shouldn't say what age Richard and Frances really are, and it doesn't really matter, but I know that they were retired. And yet, from them, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. So we're going to hear about how God spoke to them, prompted them, and then we're going to hear a little update of what they are doing.
And this is my wife, Frances. And in January of 2017, we were given a prophetic word for us to work in the nations. March 2018 saw us move to the town of Sarovar in the west of Hungary. And at the end of May, we moved into our house here in Ikavar, a short distance from the town. We're involved in secular things like the Shavari Oratoricus Chorus, the choir. We're also involved in two churches. But I'll let Frances tell you a bit more about that. Frances.
Yes, we really do thank God for what he's done for us to bring us here to this lovely nation. It calls itself a Christian nation, and we haven't seen anything that goes against that. We belong to two churches, as Richard said. One is a Pentecostal church, which is in Sarovar, newly formed, only like 6 or 8 months old. And Richard is on the eldership there, and he preaches there. And that meets on Sunday afternoons. On Sunday mornings, we go to Sombate, which the name means Sabbath place, which is lovely. And we worship there with the group of people who are just so lovely. They look after us so beautifully. It is an international church where they have the languages interpreted into German and into English every Sunday. And yesterday when we were in church, there were people from Belgium and Finland and Italy, as well as us from England and other people from Germany and Austria. So it truly is an international church. We also run an English club there, which has been going now for 6 months. And we're looking forward to the Americans coming in a couple of weeks' time to run an English camp, which we will be involved with. And really looking forward to that. Richard's got several private pupils that come to him.
I have. But one of the most interesting things is to be involved in the choir and sing in Hungarian. Although we don't understand it, we can sing in Hungarian. And it's surprising how many people really want to know more about why we came to Hungary. So we do thank you for your prayers for us, and we thank God for bringing us to Hungary. Egveled, which means heaven's blessings.
I think we should thank God for Richard and Francis. One of the things that strikes me just hearing that again is just Richard and Francis being themselves. You know, Francis digging Richard in the ribs. Doing ordinary things, being part of a choir, with the conviction that if God has placed them there, he's going to do something through them. And I just wonder, where has God placed us? Where has God placed you? And it might be he's placed you somewhere Monday to Friday, a place where you work. Or where has he placed you in terms of where you live? Or what other connections do you have? Or what clubs are you part of? Where are your family? Are your family nearby or further afield? Because God is interested in all of these places. And he wants you to be yourself in those places. They talked about the fact that mission is international. And there they are in Hungary. And there are all sorts of people from all sorts of nations coming to the church where they are. And that's the same here in Northampton. People from all sorts of nations come here. And we might think that language is a barrier. We might think that culture is a barrier, and yet there's Richard and Francis just being themselves. And yes, they're learning the language, but they're just singing in Hungarian and believing that God is working through them. And, Richard's involved in this teaching, and I think he's mentoring some students. I love the fact as well that he's now preaching and leading services, being part of church planting, because God has taken what they've offered and now using that. But the teaching and mentoring reminds me that mission is just one-to-one. Who is the person who, as it were, is sitting beside us or living beside us or next door? Where are the opportunities? Because love is communicated heart to heart, isn't it? Person to person. So I remember being with Richard and Francis and with Phil and Bea and others when we were at Faldi Brennan. And I think it was in between the two periods that they described. So it must have been January in 2018. And we were gathered around and just praying for them. And they were just rejoicing in this prophetic word that God had given them, and we just prayed, and we just prayed that God would take them and that they would go. And you know, there is a cost in mission. If I'm honest in my heart, I didn't want to see Richard and Francis leave St. Giles, leave Northampton, and go to another country, because they were dear, precious friends who were very involved in the life of the church here, and I knew that we would miss them. And yet, when we were just worshipping God together, praying for them, we knew that God had called them and that it was inescapable and that we shouldn't hold on to them. And mission often involves that. It involves letting go and being willing to do what God asks you to do. And I think that's just what they're seeking to do, seeking to be obedient to what God has asked them to do. I don't know whether this will work, but while we were praying before the service, a little thought came into my mind. If I had the chance to speak to somebody and just in five words tell them about Jesus or the gospel, what would those five words be? And I thought, I'll just ask people. So turn, just think about it for a moment. If you just had five words, 30 seconds, an opportunity to speak to somebody, you were just going to use five words to talk about Jesus, what would be the five words that you would use? Just have a moment to turn to somebody near to you. Five words. How many of us had the word love in what we said? A lot of us. Jesus loves you. I remember when I went with a friend of mine, we were walking up in the Lake District. We were backpacking and camping. And we were fortunate to have really good weather. The thing about camping in the Lake District is up in the mountains, you wake up very early. And I was up early one morning. It was 6 o'clock. It was a beautiful day outside. So I just went out all alone. And I spent about half an hour just walking around this area where I was. And just, I was just singing, praising God from the top of my voice. What an amazing place. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. And I walked back towards my tent. And there was another little tent camped near to us by the edge of this tarn. And there were two people sitting outside the tent. And they were cooking sausages, an early breakfast. And I just felt God speak to me and say, tell them about all of this. What do I say? I don't know these people. But I just thought, what have I just been singing about? What have I just been enjoying? So I literally just went over to the two of them and I said, I just want you to know, God made all of this for us to enjoy. That's all I said. God made all of this for us to enjoy. One of them went back into the tent straight away. But the other one, the other young man, stood up and said, tell me what you mean. And I then just had the chance to tell him about my faith and about being out here. My faith made a difference because I knew the God who created this world that we enjoy. Every one of us can be used by God. There's that lovely verse in 2 Timothy where God says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. It's only the Holy Spirit that helps us to overcome those fears, that natural reticence, that feeling of I'm not good enough, I can't do it. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, if we're available to God, willing to trust God, he can use all of us wherever we are. And at the heart of mission is ordinary people like you and me and B and Vera and so on and so on, being available and being used by God. We had the reading from Acts chapter 1. This is before Pentecost. And Jesus says to the disciples in Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. At the heart of what we're called to do is to be a witness, to speak about what we've seen and what we know, Jesus means to us, to speak about his love for us and to speak about his love for other people. And that promise was fulfilled. Acts chapter 1, you will receive power. And what did they do? Well, they gathered together to pray because they knew that this was a God mission that needed God to be involved. They gathered together in prayer. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit did come. The Spirit fell upon them. And then Peter, this person who had failed spectacularly, he's the person who's used by God. And he stands up and he speaks about Jesus. And he speaks about coming to Jesus in faith. And it says that 3,000 people responded to his message. And then in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they begin to do the things that they saw Jesus did. So they healed someone. So mission involves practical things, building garages. It means joining choirs and being yourself. It means telling your story. It means speaking out the message. It could mean preaching. But it also means signs and wonders and doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 4, it could have all stopped. The whole mission of God could have stopped. Because Peter and John are dragged in front of the authorities, the Sanhedrin, who basically sort of say, what are you doing? We've got to put a stop to this. And this is where the verse for our series comes from, Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are there, they're ordinary people and they're in front of these religious rulers. And basically they say this, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That was the heart of the message that they had to share, that salvation comes through Jesus. And do you know what the religious leaders thought? Said when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and John were ordinary people. They weren't experts, but they had been with Jesus. And that's the kind of people that God wants to use. And then the Sanhedrin are trying to figure out, what are we going to do with these people who are stirring up trouble? Let's put an end to this gospel message being shared. And so they warn them not to do it. And this is the verse that I want to leave you with this morning. Peter and John say this, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to God? You be the judges. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. And I believe that that's what we need today. We need a baptism of fire. We need a baptism of courage. We need a baptism of power. Also, we need a baptism of ordinariness, that you and I just offer ourselves as we are so that God can use us to share this message, that there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus.